WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Happy holidays to everyone out there celebrating in whatever way you do. Certainly not going to be celebrating a Ravens victory here this week, but we are celebrating the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and my 30th anniversary. I'm coming home. Hey, as they would say over in Dundalk. We'll be at Costas on Wednesday afternoon with many, many friends and dignitaries. I think Aaron Tamarchio is joining me from Trade Point Atlantic. Todd Crandall stopping by, our local council person, and my middle school wrestling pal, Todd Crandall. A lot of old school going on, including over at the Beaumont last week on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is all presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be letting ourselves play. Luke, I've got scratch-offs to give away, dude. Like, oh yeah, hold on here. Reach down here. I'm going to have these with me, as you can see, Raven scratch-offs. So we'll have these at Costas on Wednesday. I have to keep them away from my drink because you know how I act. Dude, this Cleveland thing, you know, last year Lamar runs out of the facility to defeat the Browns. This year the injury happens, and it happens in such a weird kind of way. It's not him getting crushed. It's not something awful. It's not career altering from what I saw. It might be altering, December altering for him at this point, and not being able to get back out there right away. Talk to me a little bit about Snoop Huntley and what you, I mean, we don't talk about him. We didn't talk about him much even 2 weeks ago after Chicago. You know, Dennis came on in praise of him, and, you know, I threw something up at Baltimore Positive on a headline about him. And I know we talked about this, but it needs to be said. In defense of Joe Flacco for bringing parades and AFC championship games here and hitting Lee Evans between the E and the V and the A and the N and the S. But he didn't miss a lot of games, right? He didn't get hurt much. And I was in that locker room every week with Matt Cassel. Every week, not Matt Cassel, it was Matt Schaub and John Beck. And there was a guy, I forgot, Mark Bulger. Forgot about him. Mm-hmm. Totally forgot about him. Because these guys never took a snap, ever. And now we're in a different place, which was the place when you and I were giving each other warm hugs up in the upper deck in Canton as we watched Lamar run into linebackers that first day we were together up there, especially on the concrete they were playing on out there. Just some thoughts on Snoop Huntley, if this is the guy for the next 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it would have to be, because he gave him a chance to win, and then before that he did win, so much so that Josh Bynes felt like he couldn't speak the truth because that's how tight Chad Steele winds them all up out there, that they can't even just say, dude won a game a couple weeks ago in the National Football League. I mean, he almost came back and gave us a chance to win today, right? So, like, I don't know where the step down is, and you followed a little bit more closely and been around a little bit more, but, you know, these backups are always sort of benign. They're always Chris Redman until they have to play.
Yeah, and I mean, that's – I'll say what I said after the Chicago game. I think he's certainly proving having value as a backup quarterback. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. Now, I want to remind everyone, because I saw some immediate reactions, especially related to the fact that the Ravens offense hasn't exactly been good over the last 5 to 6 weeks. And we've talked about Lamar Jackson struggles. Look,
wouldn't be good with Joe Namath right now.
it comes down to this. He did a nice job, especially in the fourth quarter. I do like he has a fearlessness to him that maybe, you know, we talk about this a lot of times with young baseball players. It's kind of like they have that ignorance that they don't know how big the moment is, and they just go in there and, hey, they let it rip. And teams don't have as much of a book on them, and they do a nice job for a while. And Tyler Huntley's at least got that going on at the very least. And I don't want to make it out to be that he doesn't know what he's doing out there. That's not true. He's done a nice job. I want to remind everyone before we start getting ahead of ourselves, because I noted a number of people saying on Twitter, it's telling that their offense did better, scored more points or didn't look any different at the very least with him out there as opposed to Lamar Jackson. Let's remember, he was stripped at the end of the first half, and that led to a touchdown. And then he fumbles the ball to start the second half, where they had a chance to get points there. So, you look at that, that's you know, that's a 10-point swing right there. And a game like this, that's big.
Well, you can that make big said, plays, but egregious mistakes offset all of that, right?
Now, in fairness, now, Lamar, it hasn't been fumbles as much as interceptions. Lamar Jackson's had issues turning the ball over. So, you know, I don't want to make this out to diminish what Tyler Huntley did or to downplay the struggles Lamar Jackson has had. But the point is, they've been able to in two games. And look, we can talk about the fact that it's Cleveland or Chicago a few weeks back, and it was Cleveland on Sunday. Chicago is a bad team. Cleveland is an okay team. I'll give them okay. So, you know, it's not as though he's doing this against elite competition. But again, to your point, talking about backups, where ideally you don't see Tyler Huntley play at all, but that's not where the Ravens are right now. And our starting quarterbacks get hurt, and sometimes your backup has to play. So it's been nice to see that. Now, that said, if Tyler Huntley has to go out here and start games down the stretch, I'm not going to like the Ravens' chances. In all honesty, I picked the Ravens to lose on Sunday, even with Lamar Jackson being out there. So it just speaks to where they are with all the injuries, but he's done a nice job. And again, when you think about where this team is heading, paying Lamar Jackson at some point, whether it's this offseason, whether it's after next year, whether they franchise tag him for a year, whatever, he's going to be making more money regardless of how the next year or two play out. It's valuable then having a backup quarterback on a rookie contract, much like Tyrod Taylor behind Joe Flacco for 4 years. So he's done a nice job, admirable effort, and made some, you know, made some really nice throws, utilized Mark Andrews really well. It was very nice to see Rashad Bateman reappear after kind of vanishing these last few weeks in the offense. So he's done a nice job. And you know what? I'll say this. He's positioning himself nicely to make some money in this league, whether it's going to be the Ravens keeping him as a backup or whether it's going to be him getting a chance somewhere a couple years down the road. So good for him. I mean, a great story. A guy who was a rookie free agent, spent most of last year on the practice squad. And here he is winning a football game a few weeks ago, doing just enough at the end. You know, there's been plenty of ugly too, and it hasn't been all about him. The O-line, you know, gave up a lot of pressure on Sunday, as it's apt to do, but he's also made his share of plays. And I think the biggest thing with him, even with some turnovers mixed in there, it doesn't look too big for him. Think back to how RG3 looked in that COVID Wednesday afternoon game, which I get it. That was a lousy situation for any quarterback to be in. They didn't practice all week. But remember how he looked, and he was a guy who'd been in the league for 9 years. He looked completely overwhelmed. He looked like a guy who had never played in the league, quite frankly. Tyler Huntley hasn't looked like that. Now, yes, he'll have some passes that definitely don't look great, but we talk about that with Lamar. You know, even a few years in, he'll have some passes that are ugly. It happens, but he competes. And again, he seems to have a very commendable command of the huddle. He seems to know what he's doing out there way more often than not. And hey, he led two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter that gave the Ravens a chance. So can you ask for any more from your backup quarterback short of spending big money for, and when I say big money relative to backup quarterback money, for the Case Keenum types who have been around and they're going to kind of make decent backup money by default. You know, think back to when the Ravens paid Matt Shaw, what was it, $4 million or $5 million, whatever it was at the time. So, you know, you're going to have some hiccups, but he competed. And yeah, it wasn't great in the second quarter or you know, first, you know, much of the third quarter. And they're only, you know, getting field goals at best, but hey, he came on down the stretch and did a nice job. So what that means, if he has to suit up against Green Bay or go to Cincinnati in a couple weeks, depending on Lamar's health, you know, you can't like their chances, you know, especially if he's, you know, you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side and Aaron Rodgers. But you know what? He's done as well as you could reasonably ask him to do. And that's pretty good for a guy that was undrafted a year ago. And you know, like I said, spent most of his rookie year on the practice squad.
Luke, this is also speaks to the style of offense they have, that in the same way, and I always use Willie Snead as an example, or players that they would target that another team might not want. In this particular case, to find someone, a lot of teams would like to have Huntley to run around to run a scout the week before they play Lamar, right? Like, it's in the same vein. And you know, we see this with Kyler Murray. We see this a little bit with Josh Allen, who took off down the right sideline and ran 40 yards at the end of the game. These newfangled offenses, the statue quarterback thing, if you have it, you have it. And I don't want to call Joe Burrow a statue, or because he's not. That's why he was a 1-1, because you have the wheels. But where the offense, if a backup's going to come in, you can't change your team. In the way that Flacco and Lamar that year was like, Lamar had sort of taken over a team built for Joe. This thing's really built for this, that there is an inherent benefit to having sort of an oddball offense and a guy like him that can manage in this and play well, that maybe that drop-off isn't as severe because of the things they're asking him to do.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. If you had a chance to see some of Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett's comments after the game, they actually said they think he's a little quicker than Lamar, which I think is, you know, much more of a compliment to Huntley than a knock on Lamar Jackson. I mean, I think it's probably just a shock that a backup comes in and can do the very similar things. I mean, we saw a couple of those runs that were very Lamar-like over the course of Sunday's game. In fact, I would even say, Nestor, if they had the offensive line and the collection of backs, and more specifically Gus Edwards, because he kind of led the way in that regard, of where they were down the stretch in 2018, Tyler Huntley could really run that kind of offense very well. And keep in mind that late 2018, they weren't asking Lamar Jackson to do a whole lot of passing. You know, it was much more the bumper car football, as we kind of affectionately called it, down the stretch. If they had that kind of personnel right now, or even think back to where they were 2 years ago, where it was still much more run heavy, run driven, historically great rushing attack. Yeah, I would say that they wouldn't have much drop off there. And that's not to knock Tyler Huntley's passing acumen, because he's clearly shown that he can make some throws. There's no question about that. But we're kind of comparing this to what Lamar has been this year. And we know this offense over the last 5 to 6 weeks hasn't been good enough. So you're not really looking to try to maintain that. You're trying to get better, because they need to get better. I mean, not scoring 20 points in some of these games has cost them. You know, they're since the Chargers game, they're 3-4. I mean, let's just call it what it is. They've been a 500-ish kind of team for 2 months now, in how they've played. So that's where you do go back to the offensive line and say, well, it's really not good enough. You look to the staple of running backs. I mean, Devontae Freeman's done an admirable job, but you're seeing Latavius Murray's not even a factor right now. I think, yeah, that's a credit in part to Freeman, but also speaks to just not having a lot of confidence in what you're seeing from Murray either, to have that two-headed attack. But, you know, it just comes down to, you're looking for ceiling, right? You're looking for upside. You're looking for how you can get hot. And that's still a healthy Lamar Jackson behind, you know, I would say under center, but they're always in the shotgun or pistol. So behind center, let's say. But, you know, that said, Huntley's done a really respectable job. And, you know, I'm certainly not going to sit here and express a ton of optimism if he's going to be your starting quarterback against Green Bay on Sunday. Again, we'll see how it all plays out here. But, you know, he's done a really good impersonation in trying to mimic someone who has been considered one of one, right? And Bobby Wagner famously said that for the Seattle Seahawks 2 years ago. Lamar's just so unique in what he does. It is quite remarkable that the Ravens have found a guy who can do a respectable impersonation at the very least. And like I said, you know, I mean, who knows what'll happen? I mean, if he has to play, we'll get to see him more extensively. But it is interesting, and it is very true. That's why, you know, if Lamar Jackson were to go away for the rest of the year, you know, Huntley's your guy. Even if some other team, you know, some other veteran backup that could throw it and do the, you're not going to change your offense, to your point. So in that way, it's really nice to have him, especially when, hey, from a cap standpoint, he's making the league minimum for as rookies or second year players go.
Luke Jones is here. He is Baltimore Luke, and Luke at WNST.net. It's all brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast, celebrating 30 years here this week and getting together with a bunch of sponsors and friends and Dennis from Coons Ford, and sending out texts and injuries. And, I guess while we're on this, and we can get back to strategy and the game itself, and Lord knows the Packers coming in and Aaron Rodgers and all this week, and we've talked the 2-point, 1-point thing blue in the face, but injuries, Calais Campbell goes out and it's like an afterthought, right? It was like a whole, like a week ago that we lost Marlon Humphrey. It's incredible how the psyche changes and how not just Drew Brees in the aftermath or a talking head or a media person or fan or Vegas, or I shouldn't say Vegas anymore. I should say right here, because you can gamble right here, right now. Please go do it responsibly. But even Steve Kornacki, right? Like the actual odds of them making the playoffs, being great, you know, all of that, that in your mind, I said at one point, they're an 8-4 football team and they feel like doomed in the second quarter of a game. And it's like, you know, 8-4 is pretty good in any given year for any team. You know, percentage-wise, you should feel good about them. And this isn't a Lamar thing as much as the whole sort of Chicken Little thing. Even before that with Calais Campbell, before that Marlon Humphrey, we can go through Deshaun Elliott. We just go just backwards, you know, all through the year for all of these problems. And yet at the end, they still have a chance to win, right? It really is uncanny in that way. But the next man up thing around here, they do work hard to find Snoop Huntley's so that if anything happens to Lamar Jackson's, they might be able to fall on a onside kick at the end and have a chance to win. And they did.
Yeah. I mean, something that only was 20 years in the making. The last time the Ravens had done that was 2001, which I thought was crazy. And also kind of crazy they did it knowing how much more difficult it is now. But I mean, it still just comes down to at some point enough is enough, right? I mean, it just, and we talked about this. I mean, it felt like Marlon Humphrey was the breaking point, and then you're seeing Lamar Jackson being carted to the locker room early in the second quarter. And to your point, you've already forgotten that Calais Campbell has left the game and kind of feeling like he's wearing down here at the end of the season, unfortunately, knowing how important he's been. But I mean, that was the thing. I mean, Lamar being carted, and again, it's why it's a testament to Huntley, and a testament to the coaching staff, John Harbaugh, and the players that are left on the field. That really did feel like the end. I mean, to your point, it felt like you're 8-4, but your season's over. You know, when your franchise quarterback, your former league MVP, is going to the locker room and they competed. But again, at some point in time, having enough good football players has to matter. You know, I mean, again, I know we get so caught up in these cliches, you know, whether it's saying it is what it is or next man up or this, you know, in Pittsburgh, they say the standard is the standard. I mean, all these different things that coaches use and fan bases use to rally the troops. And look, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. They're not going to lay down, and it's really a credit and a testament to them that they haven't. But you just get to the point where, I mean, look at who they're secondary was on Sunday relative to where it was back in August. You
had, and look at the flags flying.
Yeah, well, sure. And that's another thing is, you know me, I'm not the type to complain about officiating. There are certainly some calls that made me scratch my head over the course of Sunday's game. And, you know, but that said,
people bet on this, Luke. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, sure. But you just look at their secondary, and it's Anthony Averett, who going into training camp was cornerback 4 or 5 total, depending on where you ranked him and Jimmy Smith, right? Behind your top three of Humphrey Peters, Tavon Young at the nickel. You had Chris Westry, who was on a reserve future deal back in January, and a guy that we talked about in the spring and summer is, hey, he's got a chance to make the team. He's starting games in December now. You had Tavon Young, of all people, and it's a credit Tavon, believe me, but if you're going to tell me which guys are going to be left standing in a year like this, he's probably not the first guy you're going to name in that secondary. And, you know, then you have Kevon Seymour, who's been on the practice squad most of the year, and Robert Jackson's our fifth corner on Sunday, and he was just signed to the practice squad a week and a half ago. So it's extraordinary what they've gone through, and we can go down every position group. You know, we know it started with the running backs early on, and Marcus Peters and Ronnie Stanley after week one. Just go down the list. We know. We don't need to keep restating it, but it is remarkable that they are 8-5. And I think it's tough to kind of overlook what Bill Belichick's done with New England this year. Of all the years, Belichick, where you just said, all right, they roll out the ball and they're going to win a Super Bowl and they have Brady. They've got a rookie quarterback. They turned over their roster dramatically. So I think he's probably going to end up being coach of the year, barring something crazy happening these last 4 weeks. But John Harbaugh has done a fantastic coaching job this year. And yeah, we can quip over a 2-point conversion decision or Greg Roman's offense not doing enough to compensate for cover zero blitzes, or Wink Martindale being too aggressive with cover zero at some wrong times, given his personnel. I'll hear all that. They're not perfect, but the fact that this team is somehow keeping it together to the point where you erase a 3-score deficit on Sunday. And I mean, when they recover that extra point, you're thinking, hey, or not extra point, they recover the onside kick. You're thinking, hey, you have, at that point, I agree with you. You have Justin Tucker. You're down 2 points. You get this thing to the 40-yard line, you're going to win the game. It didn't quite happen, but...
And they're the Browns.
Right, exactly. But the point, the fact that they even were in that, we even had that conversation, the fact that we were even witnessing that does say so much. That said, as you move on from moral victories and resolve and having guts and fighting, there's still that and how viable you really are in terms of not just getting to the playoffs, but doing something in the playoffs. And that's where you look at this. And especially now with a hobbled Lamar Jackson, even if it ends up being on the minor side, and even if he plays on Sunday, what's he going to be like? How close to 100% is he going to be when he wasn't playing all that well even before this injury? That's where you look at this and just say, it's really tough and it's frustrating, because you look at the rest of this AFC and you think, not that the Ravens are going to go injury free, because you can't think of it in those terms either. You're always going to have some guys that you lose. Even 2 years ago, they lost Tony Jefferson and they lost Pernell McPhee and they lost a couple other guys here and there. But boy, if they had just, let's say, a normal year of injuries where it's just, you know, a few starters and a handful of role players, where would this team be right now? I'll say this. They'd certainly be, until last week, they were in the number one spot, in the AFC. They'd certainly be in great position to try to secure that number one seed. But it just feels like, these last 2 weeks now, losing Humphrey and then Lamar Jackson, you know, even though it's not a devastating Achilles or anything like that, at some point you just say uncle and it's just, you just can't do it anymore. So we'll see what they have left here over these last 4 weeks. But I'll say this much, they're going to show up, they're going to play, you know, they'll show up at 4:25 against Green Bay and they'll give the Packers everything that the Ravens are capable of giving them. You know, they'll do it. And I'm guessing, they'll compete regardless of whether they have enough to pull it out or not.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers against this secondary. He is Luke Jones. You can find him out in Owings Mills all week long getting ready for this as well as for the holidays. Cincinnati after that, Pittsburgh and L.A. We got games happening in the next couple weeks. And obviously a full-on Lamar watch going on right now. All of it brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. We have Wise conversations around here. Rob Santoni's going to join me. He hooked me up with some eggnog ice cream as well as some peppermint stick. So I'm very, very grateful that I at least had that. I thought it was going to be victory ice cream. Instead, it was soothing my purple soul. We're going to be soothing our purple souls all week long. I'm going to have the Crab Imperial because it's going to make me feel like the king of Baltimore sports radio. I'm going to be out there on Wednesday from 2 until 5 at Costas. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. We'll have some fun, dignitaries, and most importantly, I think I held these up in the last segment, scratch off tickets. I got these are real ones. These aren't the fake ones. These are activated. This is legit. It's like an accordion. I feel like I could play the accordion with the Raven scratch off tickets. So come on out to Costas. That is our last Maryland Crab Cake tour of this month. We're going to be at Nacho Mama's as well as some others in January, into February, into March. Luke, I was holding off on planning the Crab Cake tours on Fridays, moving them to Thursdays because I thought, playoffs, you know, like I thought we can't like have a Friday crab cake thing. I don't know. I mean, I'd even settle for a trip to Buffalo at this point, but don't tell anyone. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.